All right, we'll start with the Mishnah on the top of Mem Aleph. So the Mishnah begins, Chol Chazakah, Sheni Matana in a Chazakah. So this is the underlying assumption or premise which we've been working with until we reach this Mishnah in the Masechta, but that any Chazakah that has no valid claim along with it, the Chazakah can't stand independently. The Chazakah has no legs without a Tana, without a claim along with it. Ketzat, what's the case? Amar lo mata ose b'toch sheli. What are you doing in my property? Says, you know what? I've been living here forever. Nobody bothered to tell me that I shouldn't be living here, so it must be mine at this point. So this is what the equivalent of what we call squatters' rights. Right? I mean that in modern day law, in certain places, this would work. It would be sufficient evidence that it is yours at this point in time. But what Gemara says, there's no taina here. He makes no claim of ownership, so his living there is not relevant. In a chazakah. Now, shemachartali, shenatatali b'matana. Or avicha machrali, avicha natali b'matana arizu chazakah. Because then he comes with a full-fledged claim of ownership, plus the chazakah along with it. And then the chazakah again replaces the need for a shtar. So as long as he has a valid claim, he has no need for a shtar. Now he has the shnei chazakah. There he's allowed to stay on the property. And we don't force him off. Then the burden of proof now shifts to the individual who wants to get him off the property. He has to show that he really never bought it or that he wasn't there, the shnei chazakah. Haba mishum yirusha, ein tzarich ta'ana. So someone who shows up here because of a ta'ana, with a claim of I inherited it from my forefathers, does not have to show, right, that he doesn't have to make any claim of how he got a hold of the property. The mere fact that he's a yorish is sufficient reason for him to be on the property. And we're going to see in a second, then he doesn't have to necessarily prove ownership for the previous owners. He might just have to show that his father lived on there for one day. And as long as he can prove that they were there for one day, then his claim of Yerusha is sufficient to allow him to stay on the property with Shnei Chazakah. Now, what Chazakah we're talking about here, the Rashbam points out, there are different type of Chazakot that we've discussed until this point in the Gemara. We discussed the most common of them, which is the Shalosh Shanim, right, the 3 years. But we've also dealt with Chazakot, which are premised on an activity which is so offensive or so outright unacceptable to another party, that if the other individual does not object to you doing that, you gain a chazakah right away. So that's even b'yom echad, even with one day you can get a chazakah. If you start using your friend's property for certain activities and claim that he gave you that right, if he doesn't object right away, then you have gained, that chazakah is immediate because you don't need 3 years. The mere activity shows, right, the fact that you have a chazakah. So the Rashbam says our Mishnah is talking about both types of chazakot. It's talking about, right, the chazakah of 3 years, as well as the chazakah, for instance, of doing some activity that otherwise would be considered unacceptable unless you got permission from your neighbor. That also would be the type of chazakah that we're discussing in our Mishnah. So the Gemara asks the question, which is pshita, right, the whole concept here that you need a taina is so simple. I mean, why is that the chiddush? Ma'adu teima, what are you going to think? Hai gabra mizban zavin le. So this is the Gemara says, what I thought, that he purchased it, hai ara, ushtara havale, and he did have a shtar, v'irkis, and it was ripped up. V'hai to kamar hachi, so then why is he making a claim, listen, I just lived here for 3 years, you know, it's mine. Why doesn't he say, I bought it from you when I got it? Because, was he afraid? Savar, ia mina mizban zavin le. If he says that I purchased it, right, what is he going to think? What are they going to say to you? Show the contract. Where's your contract? And he doesn't have the contract anymore. So why don't we to'ain on his behalf? This is the Havamina. The Gemara says this would have been the Havamina in the Mishnah, that we would have been to'ain on your behalf, that what? That, listen, we know that you're just saying that you lived here for 3 years, but maybe you had a shtar. Maybe you had a shtar and it got ripped up. Do we help him along to make that suggestion? Why? Because the possibility is that the only reason he's making the claim here, right, that he didn't buy it, is because he's afraid that if he says he bought it, they're going to ask for the shtar and he doesn't have that anymore. I mean, he doesn't understand the balance here between, obviously, the Yimei Chazakah or the Shnei Chazakah and the lack of a shtar. So that's what we would have thought. The Gemara says, "Kigon zeb," right? As p'tach picha li'leim. Who? Now, what is that? That's as if you are helping along the, you know, maybe it's the, in the, you know, modern sense, it's leading the witness, but over here, obviously, it's leading the litigant, meaning that you're feeding them information which is going to make their tana stronger. And we don't do that. So that's Kamash Malon. That is the Mishnah. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that we do not act on their behalf. We do not help them with their ta'ana. If he comes with the ta'ana that he simply lived there for 3 years, we're not going to go and say, maybe you bought it, maybe you had a shtar, that we will not do for him on his behalf. The only thing we will do is listen to his ta'ana and say to him, that's not a valid ta'ana, that's not a valid claim, and therefore you cannot stay on the property unless you have a ta'ana, a full-fledged or a valid claim that comes along with this. Interesting Rashbam, he says, the itayin ta'in in lay. If he acts on his own behalf, then we act for him, meaning that if he says something, then we'll help him along, right? And if we don't hear him make any ta'ana, we don't teach him how to do this. From here we learn, from that we learn what that if he had been towing that way, he would be believed, right? Because if he reverses, that's not called reversing your original position. That does not change the fact. The fact that you say that I bought the property, and then you go along and say that the shtar was ripped up, that is not a okay. That's not changing your original statement. That is, it's almost like an addendum or qualification to the original statement, but it doesn't change your ta'ana. Your ta'ana is that I bought it. And that doesn't change by the fact that you said the shtar is irkus. So that's how we know that if he makes such a claim, he comes along and says, I bought it, I had a shtar, it was ripped up, that's a valid claim. That's a good claim, right? And then that's why I'm living here. So that's a good claim. Now again, if he doesn't make the claim for himself, we're not going to help him along. So the idea that the Gemara here says pshita is not so pshita. Why is that? Because we had back on, if you remember this, in the Gemara, back on Chav Chet, Amud Bet, right, the Gemara has a Havamina over there, and the Gemara's Havamina is this. Listen to this Havamina in the Gemara. Gemara's Havamina is, it's the second line down on Chav Chet Amud Bet, for those that ever can get back to Chav Chet Amud Bet. Alright, Ela Me'ata. This is the Gemara says, Ela Me'ata, Chazoka Sheni Ma, Taina Tehavi Chazaka. Right, so the Gemara has a Havamina here that what? That a Chazoka that doesn't have a Taina should be a good Chazoka. That's what the Gemara is trying to be Medayik, right, out of the statements, out of the Mishnah. The Gemara is trying to be Medayik that a Chazoka without a Taina would be a good Chazoka. And then the Gemara challenges it from our Mishnah. Almatnan. Why does it say in the Mishnah further on? Chazoka sheni matana in a Chazoka. Now, what did the Gemara just do? The Gemara just had a Havamina that you could have a Chazoka without a Taina. And the Gemara's answer is our Mishnah. Now, if that's the case, then why does the Gemara over here say Pshita? It shouldn't be Pshita, because the Gemara was willing to entertain such a Havamina that you have a Taina without a Chazakah. And Tosos over here says, I'll give you the explanation. What was the Havamina of the Gemara? Who could ever say that you'd have a Chazakah without a Taina? So Tosos gives two possible explanations of what it could be. He says, He came into Achla Shloshanim v'lo Micha, abib Chazakah shleim Mche od, v'lo Tana namite shalo. That was the first answer of Tosos. That the mere fact that you lived there for 3 years, and he was not me'arer on you, then it's an implicit mechila, because he won't live there he didn't say anything for the first 3 years, it must be that he's mochel, and then you can stay on the property. That's the one Havamina. Inami, had the kaparach lememra, the chazaka shablotaina te chazaka, and going to Amarle, meplani zavanta, I bought it from him, the zavna minach, that purchased it from you. I bought it from this third party, you bought it from you. Afagav dlo amar, kamadidi zavna. Even though he doesn't say he did it in front of me, or he has no evidence of the first sale, he just says that someone sold it to you, and I bought it from him. So that would be, right, Elo? That's the Havamina. So you have a Gemara that has an explicit Havamina about exactly what the Gemara is calling Pshita in our Gemara. So that's what...
That was specifically according to Rabbi Shmuel. That was predicated on the idea that we're learning it from Shmuel.
Right.
Right, and then therefore, so what does it have to do with whether it's a tiger or not?
Right, so that's Tosos tries to give an answer like that. Tosos tries to answer exactly what you're answering, Shaul. So that Shaul's answer. The Tosos over here says exactly what Shaul says. Wait, that was Rabbi Shmuel over there. Maybe this mission is the Rabbanan. So look, Tosos says it's the last three lines in Tosos. Shlomar li adam elam pshita. He says, "Well, yesh lamar the Rabbanan, the Rabbi Shmuel, the lo yofim mishor muad parach pshita." He says, "Aval kasha." We're going to see in a second that the Mishnah is set up like Rabbi Shmuel. So it's not going to help you to say that it's the Rabbanan. So he doesn't, So he has to come up. He's trying to narrow it down. Tosfos asks from the Tosfos back on. It's interesting. He's asking from the Tosfos back on Chof Chet, all these explanations. He says, what's going on? And then he says, V'nira de parich achazoka de yom echa de masni zanami ariba mektani kol chazaka kereperish akuntris. So he says, maybe it's not talking about the shloshanim issue. Maybe it's talking about the chazaka of yom echad. And that's a pshita. If you have no taina, and you just say you have chazaka of yom echad, then that's no good. And that may be the difference between the Gemara on Chof Chet, which is talking about chezkat shloshanim, and our Mishnah, which was talking about, as he pointed out, Kepersha Kuntris, which is, again, I think, it seems like he's reading the Rashbam, but it's that the Rashbam says that it's both Chazak of Shloshanim and Chazak of Yom Echad. So he says maybe the Gemara's question of Pshita is on the question of Yom Echad. That when it says that when you come with a Chazak of Yom Echad, you said, I did this activity for one day. He says, well, why were you permitted to do that? And he says, I don't have any claim, I just did it. So if I did it, I should be allowed to keep it like that. So that's what the Gemara says, Pshita, of course you can't say that. That doesn't work. You need a taina while you were doing such an activity that allows you to stay. But Shloshanim, maybe already the duration of time says that it was Mechila, that duration of time says even if you say that you claimed you bought it from someone else, even if you have evidence, maybe the duration of time allows you to pass without a taina. But when you're talking about Yom Echad, to say that that will pass without a taina, that seems to be Pshita. And that's what the whole Gemara's question over here is about, Pshita and the Yom Echad. Vanon, Shako Bidka Ba'are. A flood ran over his property. His property was flooded out. And so they lost, what seems to be they lost the borderlines of where the property, you know, the property demarcations were. And therefore, they didn't know where to put the border or the fence back up. So Azal Hadar Guda Ba'are Dechabre. So then he put back up the wall. But it turns out that the wall went into his friend's property. I mean, not only was it was off the mark. It wasn't on the original demarcation. It went into his friend's property. So after the coming to Rav Nachman, they came to Rav Nachman about this. Amar Zil Hador, just give it back. Says Vahar Zikili. Says I took possession of it. What do you mean? I have a chazak over here. So it says I built the kotel. This is what the Rashbam claims. I built the kotel based on his command or his instructions. He knew I was building the kotel, so he built it. And it's as if he said to me chazak upnei. It's as if he said to me, go take possession of it. Right. So that's his claim here. So Amar Lei, come on. Who are you suggesting over here? Who are you holding like over here? It says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel. So I'm holding like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel. Darmi kol b'fanav, the altar Rabbi Chazaka. Both of them hold that immediately, right? Go to the altar, right away, you have a Chazaka when it's right in front of him. Meaning that we saw Rabbi Yehuda, right? We just saw Rabbi Yehuda in the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says that you need Shloshanim, not to replace the Shtar. Why do you need Shloshanim? In order to go to Spain, right, to do the activity for a year, go to Spain for a year, and come back for a year. Why do you need all that time? Because we need him to find out about it. As soon as he finds out about it, it's a chazakah. That's what Rabbi Yehuda's position is. That means if you found out about it right away, if you do not object right away, that's a chazakah. So he says, why can't I be just, I'm holding like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shmuel, who both say that it's sufficient, right, that you have one day, and because of that, I took possession of it. I had the wall. He told me, go build it, take possession of the wall, build the wall, and then I'm there for a day already, so it should be a chazakah. It was not ma'arer, it should be a good chazakah over here. And Rabbi Shmuel we'll get to later in our parak. We haven't hit Rabbi Shmuel yet. So Mar says, he says back to him, Rav Nachman says, Leitel chazakah v'tayu. The law is not like them. We require shloshanim because of shtar. We don't require shloshanim because of getting you the information. So that's not the law. So he says, all right, Amalei v'achil. He says, wasn't he mochel over here? I mean, what was he mochel over here? Because he helped me out. He helped me build the wall. That's what the Rashbam claims. He came here, he helped me build the wall, so that's an implicit mechila. The fact that is that he was there alongside of me building the wall with me. The atavasiya beguda adai, right? That he came and helped me along with building the wall, so therefore he is mochel. Samalei, mechila betauti. This isn't a real mechila. It's not a mechila that was done with intent. Right? Why? He says, because at kufech, you yourself have a yadat lo avat. Right? If you had known that this was not your property line, would have you built the wall here? No. The only reason you built the wall here was because you thought that was your, it was under the assumption that it was your property line. Just like you were unaware that it's not the property line, so too was he unaware that it wasn't the property line. He was assisting you under the underlying assumption that it was the property line. So to claim that that's a mechila in the faith, right? Meaning that had he known, and had you known, nobody would have built the wall here. So that's not a good mechila. So you have to go, you have to give it back to him over here. Right now, the Tosos asks on the explanation of the Rashbam over here. He says that if you look up the Rahas Kili, right over the He said he helped me out. The Hazakili Perish Kodunches Baniti Kotel Al Piv Husiali. I built the wall with him and he helped me out. So if you look at the flow of the Gemara, what ends up happening is he came before Rav Nachman. He says Amal Zil Hador. So he says Vahazikili. He says I took possession of it. Well, how did he take possession of it? So the Rashi claims he took possession because he said Leich Chazok Kney. And he says that he told me to do it, and he helped me out with the wall. That's how the Rashi explains it. So then, what's the next claim in the Gemara? The next claim is, oh, v'hal machile, that he forgave me. Well, how do we know that he forgave me? Because he helped me with the wall. So Tosa says you're repeating the same claim twice. The claim hasn't changed. The claim is that he helped you. Right? The same claim is, the claim was that he helped you to build the wall, therefore I have a chazalko. And he said he helped me build the wall, I have a mechila. So it says that he's not changing his claim at all. So how are you repeating the same claim twice?
But it's good to be, but it's a proof for both.
Right, so he says that, he thinks that, why is that? So Tosu says, he gives another explanation. So if, but it's hard, to, first of all, it's hard to read it into the words, and number two is it's a little bit questionable, Ravana. He says this, he says, Menir Lefarish, the Ravanan Havitayin, Shalakach Mimenu, Vahayalo Edim, Shalakacha. The Ravanan first said that I bought it from him, and I have Edim that I bought it from him. So first he wanted to be Neman for the Chazakah, that he bought it from him, and that would have been sufficient that he has a Chazakah, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shma. He says, you don't have a chazaka here, so you can't do it. I don't know where the Edim are. I don't know where the Shtar is. Like, I don't know what's Ravanan's claim here that he bought it. I mean, everything else is missing. So then he says, okay, that's not a good chazaka. Then he says, Va'achil. Right? Then he says in the end, he says, V'enasugya muchachit kin. That's Tosu's reason in the end. He says, the sugya doesn't read that way. He's trying to solve a problem of the no, being no chiddish in the first claim. The second claim is the claim that he helped me. Which is, he says, indicates that the first claim was not help with help. And that's, Tosu says, well, based on that, I have to come up with a new scenario. But the new scenario doesn't really fit into the words of the Gemara. So I think what David is claiming is what you have to say, that he had the same claim, but he was trying to different angles with the same claim. There's a claim that he helped me. The first angle is that that's a chazaka, and then the second angle is that's a mechila. And not that he changed it, even though, again, the wording of the
Gemara. The first claim is that he helped me. It's just not a zikili.
Right.
It just means that he saw it, he didn't do it.
Right. So,
no, but that's not a claim. Where's his taina? He needs a taina along with his chazaka.
It's a weak claim to start with.
You can't. Ravana's not coming with the claim that I took it. He has to come with a claim that I have a taina. What's his taina now? So that's what the Rashi says. The taina is leich chazok v'knei. Go ahead, he helped me out. That's his taina over here, that he was a participant over here. You have to have a taina, right? That's clear. Then Rav Anan would have to, I don't think Rav Anan would show up and say, I have a chazok. I took it for a day. That doesn't make so much sense. All right. So now we have another case exactly identical to this. Rav Kana shako bidko ba'ari. Rav Kana also had a flood in his field. Vazo adar gudu ba'ari delo didei. Went ahead and put the fence back up. The fence was washed away. Again, the property mine was washed out, and so they went up and put a fence in the property that wasn't his. After they came to review those, so he came before review those. I did treisadi. So then he went before review to get this. He brings two edim. Chadamar tarte otzaita al. Chadamar tzlat otzaita al. So now the question is, how far did he go into his friend's property? So the first aide comes along and says he went two rows into his friend's property. The second aide comes and says he went three rows into his friend's property. So now what are you going to do? Amalei zil shlim tarte mi go tlat. He says, look, at minimum, you're two over. The two edim agree that you were over at least two, so go compensate him for the two rows that you took out of his property. So at least two out of three. So Amalei, come on. So he says, who are you passing like, Rav Yehuda? Who are you passing against me like? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Says, like, I'm older like Rabbi Shimon Elazar. The Dan, you have a bright, so I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Lo nechluku beit shemai beit hilal shtei kitei edim. If you have two sets of edim that show up, one says 100, one says 200, that's right, that you're definitely chayav 100, because both sets of edim claim that you're chayav at least 100. So you have to pay. So that, even Beit Shammai agrees in that case, that you would have to pay 100, because you have two edim. We don't say, it seems to me that you might have some havamina here, that we don't say that all the edim are mitzareif. Right, that we don't say they all become a single kat edim, and now you have nechleka edutan. Now we say that the two sets of edim come, they said 100 and 200, now we have at least 100 here. Ma'ama nechleku, what is there, machlokus between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? A kat achat. You have a single set of edim that differ on what exactly, right, the amount was. She'achad omer maneh, v'achad omer matayim. One says 100, one says 200. She'beit Shammai omer nechleka edutan. That's it. You have a problem. You have you don't have a kat edim anymore. You have two edim saying different things, and therefore there's no edut anymore. Beit Hillel omrim, no, yesh b'chol matayim maneh. They're both agreeing. You have a single katedim who's saying 100. They're both saying, one is saying 100 plus 100, and one is saying 100. So take, at least they have a katedim for sufficient to be 100, and that's what you have over here. According to Rav Shimon Elazar, Aliba de Beis Hillel, that's what I'm paskening like. I mean, one ain't saying two, one ain't saying three, we put them together, you have two rows. You gotta compensate for at least two rows. We have two edim saying that you are over the border, over the board, at least two roses. I'm late. Right, so he says, I could bring you a letter from Eretz Yisrael that the locha is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So listen to this response, Rabbi Yehuda. I'm late. When you bring the letter, we'll talk about it. He wasn't willing to acquiesce over here that the locha is not, and therefore we passed the locha because Rabbi Yehuda passed in the din like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, right? And we're gonna. Right, that's the halacha. It stands Rabbi Yehuda came lunch. Can I say a din? Right, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda because the din was paskin that way. That's the way the din held, and he wasn't willing to bend because he said that I could bring you a letter from Eretz Yisrael. It says, you know, when you bring the letter, we'll talk about it, and that's the way the din, the way the din stood, and you had to pay the two rows, and we would paskin the same way today. That if you have two edim that come in a single katz, and if they have a common denominator between them. Then that's enough to be classified as a single edut. Now that's not true of any difference. So for instance, if one aid says that the pile was a white pile, and one aid says that it was a black pile, over there we would say maybe nechluka edutan. Because there the...
It's supposed to be that it was a pile.
Right. So that's it. You can't say, right. You have to have enough of a common denominator. I mean, that people mix up between 100 and 200 coins, they get mixed up. I say white and black already, there's something where you start to get into differences that will not, be able to overcome them. At least according to Rabbi Yehuda. I'm just suggesting according to Rabbi Yehuda that maybe there is such a difference, you can make such a differentiation.
He points out here that, you know, that it's actually not a payment, but it's
Right. The way the Rashbam reads it, it's that he's compensating for the land. But I could see that it's the same. Right. I could definitely see that the solution would be that he has to give the land back. I mean, it should be the choice of the owner of the land.
Unless it got planted on it already.
Right. It's not, because here, I mean, he really owns the land, so it's clear, you know, there's, you have to worry about the loss of the wall and all the other things. I think there would be some consideration to that, but. I could see that either one being a proper solution in the case, depending on the context. How Gavro, this gentleman, the Dar Bikashto, lived in a city called Kashto Belito in a aliyah, right in an attic, or probably an upper floor. Arbashoni, he was in right for 4 years. Right, this is the optimist, the positive side. This was a penthouse. Ata married Beito. Right, so the owner of the house shows up. Ashkechein says, "I'm late. Buy my bait b'habeita. What are you doing in my house? I'm late. Me plania zevinta dezavna minach. I purchased it from so and so, and so and so purchased it from you. Meaning that it's a it was a third party sale. So after the kamei d'b'chio, they went before b'chio. I'm late. Eat le'sade the darbe ius dezamat minei afilu chad yoma. If you have any edim that show that the individual you claimed you bought it from lived there for one day, ukim nolabi yadech." I will, right, give it to you. Below, though, right, I'll leave it with you, if not, not. I mean, this is what we've been learning all along, that if you come with the claim, we'll see in a second, of Yerusha, which we'll see in a second, or of Lekucha, that you had bought it through a third party, as long as you can prove that your father was there for a day, or the third party that you bought it through was there for a day, then you're done. I mean, then his din is with the other party, not with you anymore.
In other words, the one day is sufficient to throw a suffix on the Ma'arer's claim.
Right.
But it's not sufficient to yet actually prove definitively that the original buyer actually bought it.
Right, but it shifts the burden of the proof back to the Ma'arer, and he'll have to deal with the person who bought it. I mean, that is no, his issue is no longer with the person who is here. The person who's here has basically done a title search in that sense, right? He has a title search, which is that he's been there Shnei Chazaka, plus the other guy was there for a day. So now he has a valid title. He says the other guy looked like he had title to it, so now... You want to deal with it, go back to the guy who bought it to you if you have a claim with him. Your claim is no longer with me.
How did it work? So he goes to the other guy. And he says, I lived there for a day.
Right. So then he had more bumpy. According to Megazlan, even if you do it unintentionally, you end up losing out. I mean, you get bumped off your property. Right.
Off of what you thought was your property.
I'm a Rav. Aviyativna kamei de chavivi. He says, Rav says, I was sitting before my Rabbi beloved, but chavivi over here is because Rechia was Rav's uncle. He was his uncle from both sides. He was uncle from his mother's side and his father's side, right? It's Gemara in Sanhedrin. We did in the Gemara beginning of Psachim. We'll get to it in Sanhedrin. We saw in Psachim, right, that Rav was related to Rechia on both sides. So Amalei, Rechia and Adam asui likachal in kor belayla. He says, wait a minute. A person is there to make a profit. He doesn't need to live there for a day. There's a possibility that he was a broker. And he bought the property, right? He went ahead and he bought property. He thought he was going to flip it, right? And all of a sudden somebody comes to him at night and offers him a good price. So he flips it overnight. He took possession of the property, flips it overnight, and he never lived there for a day. So now what are you going to do? You're going to say he needs a deen that he lived there for a day? He never did live there for a day. I mean, this is the type of transaction that could take place. And based on the evidence that you're asking for, he can't ever prove that the guy was there and that he bought it from him legally. So when it says, let's see what the reasoning behind, you know, Reb Chia is. Right? Because if he says, if the party says that I saw, if the buyer right now, the person who's living there says that I saw you sell it to the third party in front of me, that I witnessed it, Migo di bay amale ana zavanta minach. Right? Then he could have said what? He has two claims. He has two possible claims here. He could say, I lived here, Shnei Chazaka. We know he lived here for 4 years. So you can make one claim is that, what? I bought it from you. And that would have been a valid claim and the guy would have nothing to talk about. He has it now. That would have been over. Now what does he say instead? He says that I bought it from this third party and I saw you sell it to that third party. So now we believe him as amigo because he had a better claim. The better claim would just said I bought it straight from you and then you could have never thrown him out. The fact that he made this convoluted transaction where a third party bought it and then sold it to me and I saw it happen, therefore he's going to be believed over here. That's what Rav Chia's basic Taino is. Depends why you think people are not Meiz Panav. According to Rashi, says Meiz Panav befel b'chavos because he did him a tova, then that's only to do with somebody who lends you money. Then by Mechira, people is Meiz. People are Meiz in those instances. Right? The Beinu Talmud says Hazaz Panim is not about even by Mecher, or even by Alva, we'd say Meiz and Meiz. So there you, over here also. So I think Hazaz Panim is, people are, would not have necessarily have an application over here, but that the person does not feel, he doesn't feel he owns the guy anything. So therefore he's going to be willing to be Meiz Panav. Right, Amar Rava, Kavete de Rav Chia Mistavro. Rav Chia's position versus Rav's position makes more sense. Tiktani, Haba Mishum Yerusha, Ein Tzerach Tana, our Mishnah. Right, the person comes to Yerusha doesn't need a Tana. Tanahu de lo bai, ha-ra'aya bai. He needs some sort of proof. He may not need a taino, but he needs a proof. That's why it says, v'dilma lo ra'aya bai, v'lo tana bai. I mean, who says that he needs a ra'aya or a tana? Why do you have to say, what's the deal out of the Mishnah? Oh, he doesn't require a tana. Maybe he doesn't require a tana, he doesn't require a ra'aya, he doesn't require anything. So Mar says, ibai yisema, shani lo keach, d'lo shadei zuze bichde. So, or the other possibility of answering you here is, even if you believe the Mishnah right, is meduyak, that by a yoresh, you don't need a taina, but you do need a raya, by lokeach, maybe he doesn't need a raya either. Why? Because people don't throw money around for no reason. Here he went and expended money, bought from a third party. He wouldn't have bought it from the third party unless he was sure that the third party owned the property. You don't just give money hoping that he owned it. No, you check into it. You do a title search to make sure. So the fact that he expended money over here should be an indication, what? That he really believes that the third party owned it. So again, we don't have any proof to our case over here from the Mishnah, either because the Mishnah is not addressing that case, because it's not talking about a raya at all, or even if our Mishnah is talking about a case of a raya, right? Nevertheless, maybe the case of Lokeach is different. Because by Yerusha, you need a Raya, because the guy is always doing, he's talking, right? He's not expending any money. So here by Lokeach, where not only is he saying that it's his, because he bought it to his third party, he expended money to do that. And he put money down on the property. So Gemara says, Ibai Elohu. So now we have another question. Nirobo Mai. So this goes back. The Gemara seems to have concluded that we hold like Rabbi Chia. We pass him like Rabbi Chia. So now, once we pass him like Rabbi Chia, right, if you see him measuring the land, you go out there and you see him doing a survey of the land and measuring everything, and the Baal HaBayit knows about this, that he's measuring the land, what's the din over here? So Amar Abayi, hihi. That's the same thing. If you see a guy measuring the land, that's the equivalent of having bought the land. And nobody goes out there and surveys the land and does all these measurements unless they're really going to buy it. So if you saw, meaning that the third party who bought it, who you claim to have bought it from, if you saw him surveying the land and looks like he's going to buy it, that if you have anything to that effect, That would be sufficient to be proof that you have bought it from him and you don't have to bring any more proof. That's what Rabbi's position. Rabbi says, Avid Inish, the CRRA, Velo's oven. People look at property and never buy, right? I mean, here, well, we have someone to know, right? Right? Not every looker is a buyer. Right? So that's what Rabbi says, that you don't have to claim. You can measure out. You can be looking. You can try to make a decision. He didn't make the decision to buy it. Just the fact that he was measuring the property doesn't mean that he bought the property. So unless you have evidence that he was on the property, right, then we will not allow you to come. So now the conclusion of the Gemara now is, we'll stop over here, but the conclusion of the Gemara is that, or it seems to be that we pass like Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya's position is that you have to have some sort of evidence to the fact that the third party is there. Why? Once you have evidence that the third party is there, then you have a migo. Because what's the point of the migo? The migo says that I could have made a better claim. What was the better claim? I bought it directly from you, and I'm there shnei chazaka, which he has. He has shnei chazaka there. So any alternative claim you will be made, right, you will be believed with. So what are the alternatives? The alternative is that I bought it from so-and-so, and he's been there for one day. I can prove that he was there for a day. Or I saw the transaction take place. The transaction was in front of me. So any of those are enough through amigo to be believed, right? To be either Edim, which helped him, or the amigo that he was standing there. That'll be enough to be believed. As opposed to Rav's position, which is maybe you should believe without any evidence whatsoever. But according to Rav, it becomes much harder. Then, according to Rav, what's his taina? Simple taina is that I bought it from third party X, and I spent money. I wouldn't have spent, it's clear that I spent money, and so there must be that it's good. I mean, that's what you have to make, some sort of claim like that for Rav. So that's what the Gemara rejects. The Gemara says that's not enough. We want you to have to establish some sort of either nemanut through amigo or some sort of ownership to the previous party. Once you've done that, you're in the clear. We don't ask you for any more than that. You don't have to prove. You don't have to come out with evidence. You don't have to have a shtar, nothing else. That's enough. Right now, again, with the third party, if the Baal HaBayit says the third party stole it, then his din is with that third party, and they'll have to work it out between them. And again, he could lose his property. He could lose his property because it was a kone mi'agazlan, which we spoke about in Baba Metzia. But in the interim, he's able to stay on the property. Okay.